Cody Coates.
Joe Coyote, how you doing?
I am doing well. Today was the first day I did not have to wear a winter coat in New York City.
Sounds like every day here.
Let's go right into follow-up. Listener Mike tweeted at me regarding our discussion on the book Becoming Steve Jobs. We were discussing it, although we only read between 2 to 4 chapters of the book. But he made a good point, because we were kind of lamenting how they were rehashed, or maybe it was just me, how they were rehashing a lot of Apple history and Steve Jobs history and stories that we kind of already knew about. But Mike made a good point. His tweets say, when this book becomes the de facto story in years to come, they need it to stand alone. If understanding the story this book tells required reading Isaacson's book, that would be a mistake. And that's dead on. You know, if this is going to go down in the history books as the true Steve Jobs novel, you have to talk about all the usual stuff regarding his life. And speaking of becoming Steve Jobs, so last week we recorded on a Wednesday, which we usually record on a Thursday night. And this past Thursday, the authors of Becoming Steve Jobs were at the Apple Store in Soho in New York City. So I knew I wasn't able to stay for the whole thing, but I knew that I could catch at least the first 20 to 30 minutes. So my little story is I get there, and lo and behold, Mr. John Gruber is doing the interview, which was not announced anywhere on the internet. He kind of just surprised everyone who showed up there. It was a pretty cool thing to see him surprise everyone. And that interview is up now for everyone. They can listen to it or watch the video. That'll be linked in our show notes. Cody, where can our listeners find our show notes for this episode?
diagnosticsandusage.com/episodes/11. And also they should be in whatever podcast app you are listening to this episode with.
Great. And one last thing. I mentioned it last week, but now we have a link. I was on the Tech Douchebags, episode 53, titled The Stream Fiend. And if you want to take pleasure in me getting ripped apart by Jordan Cooper, great guy, great comedian, you can head over to the show notes to find that.
Yeah, I know. I had a great time listening to you get torn apart about your Twitter addiction and your tech douche bag narcissism. It was a great, great podcast to listen to.
Good. I'm glad it entertained you. So why don't you take us into Yahoo Screens? You put this in the show notes, and I'm curious as to why, because I know of the app. It's on the Apple TV, and it's getting a lot more popularity now that it's the only way to watch Community. But what'd you have to say about it?
So that's actually how I started watching it. Was we were kind of just hanging out this weekend and wanted something to watch, and Community is new, so we opened up the app. And have you opened it at all, and you watched anything on it?
Yeah, it actually, although it's like cut up in segments, it actually has like all the SNL episodes. So I have opened it on the Apple TV and watched a couple of episodes of SNL.
So they did something very interesting with their kind of streaming model. So we watched the first episode of Community, and unlike Netflix, where when the episode ends, it just goes into the next episode, in Yahoo Screens, it does go to the next episode, but it doesn't go to the next episode of the show you're watching. Instead, it started one of their original series, and I found myself watching this show that I don't even remember what the show is. It's about, I don't know, some sports team or something, but I was they just are playing on the Netflix addiction of just let it keep going. And so they just kept playing episode after episode. And I was sitting there like kind of just like playing Pokemon on my 3DS and not really paying attention, but it's just kind of there. And I, after halfway through the first episode, I was like, why am I watching this show? Like
now, did they do this because they didn't release every episode of Community at once like Netflix does?
I don't know. I mean, there was definitely more than one episode. I watched the first one, and I think now it's on like episode 5 or 6. But they just took me into a completely different show.
Wow.
And I didn't change it. I got through the whole episode because I was like, oh, I'll just let it keep playing. And then it started playing episode 2 of whatever this show was. But it was a very, it was a good move on Yahoo. Like, get me to watch this other content by playing on the habits of Netflix watchers.
I don't know. I don't know if I would expect myself to just let it go into a totally different show without me like realizing it and stopping it. But I guess if it's one of those shows where you're not fully invested in it, and it's one of those shows that you can like multitask
background
with
noise.
It. Yeah. Interesting.
Did you see that Elon Musk tweeted out and said that Tesla is going to be starting a new category, not cars?
Yeah, and I'm like really interested because
what do you think it is?
I don't know, because he has his hands in a lot of things, besides Tesla, he is the main investor in a company called Solar City. He obviously has the SpaceX program, so he's dabbled in all these different emerging technologies and very futuristic stuff. So I'm just as curious. I just don't know if it's gonna be under the Tesla brand. I don't know if it's gonna be as extreme as like a mobile device or something very small. I think it. I don't know. Maybe it could be like a some kind of like crazy jet ski or something like that.
Yeah, I know. I thought he's not gonna go into. I don't think that they would go into something that, you know, like what Microsoft and Apple and Google are doing. I assume they're going to make, I don't know, like a tractor that's all battery powered and doesn't run on gas, right?
Maybe they're planning on using the Tesla brand for beyond like these mechanical vehicles. Like, we're trying to like think in the scope of Tesla, the motor vehicle, the electronic motor vehicle company. But who knows? Maybe it's just maybe it's a new holographic 3D technology. Like it literally could be anything. This guy is unpredictable, and I look forward to it. I don't know if did he announce a specific date?
It's at the end of this. I think he said April 30th, the end of this month.
All right, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I want to see what they're going to make. I assume that it's going to be something, just given Tesla's like prominence with batteries, I assume it's going to be something that has not run on electric power and now will. And I have been just racking my mind trying to think of like what could they be doing, and I can't think of a damn thing that sounds anywhere near reasonable.
And what's also impressive, at least recording today, Thursday, April 2nd, there hasn't been a single leak. I mean, they may be doing something similar to when Apple had to announce the iPhone so far in advance before it hit the FCC. They maybe do something like that. One thing that came to mind is, who knows, maybe it has something to do with drone technology. I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing here, but it's exciting, and I'll be sure to keep refreshing my Twitter feed until it's announced.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to have a Tesla Model S. I would love to own one, but it's too expensive and I don't drive. So I'm excited that there will be a product that Tesla is making, because that maybe I will be able to purchase that will be useful and not crazy, crazy expensive, just to kind of get an experience of the Tesla brand. I mean, I haven't ridden in a Tesla car, have you?
No, I have not. But maybe it's the world's first good computer printer. I would totally
buy
that.
What are you going to print?
Well, that's
what do you print?
That's a very good question. But, just
3D
imagine.
3D printing. Maybe they're going into 3D printing.
Shoot. Maybe it is 3D printing.
Or virtual reality. Like, I'm just throwing buzzwords out now of things they could do.
Yeah, I feel like it could be anything at this point, but I look forward to it. Another thing that broke last Thursday, and we missed it because we recorded on a Wednesday, blah, blah, blah. Periscope.
Yes.
Periscope released, and me being the bandwagoner that I am, I cast the Meerkat app to the side. And
poor
I jumped,
guy.
And I jumped on Periscope immediately, and... Man, is it a way more polished app than Meerkat is, and Meerkat's really they're pumping out updates, and I could see that they're putting out UI refinements and stability fixes, but Twitter, although I disapproved of them cutting off the social graph, that actually helped Periscope a lot more than I originally thought it would. When Meerkat came out, unless you got it within the first couple of days, you didn't have your Twitter social graph. So building up a following was really tough. Also, discovery was pretty much non-existent. You couldn't just jump onto anyone's feed through the app unless they tweeted it out on Twitter. With Periscope, I launched the app. I didn't really have that many followers because it was like the morning the app came out. But the first time I went live, like 60 people jumped on the stream. Like the discovery factor on the app is crazy good. And today they even put out a couple of good fixes. One, Engadget reported they were getting a little too accurate with showing your location when you went live. You could actually zoom into like the block that you lived on, and now they've gotten a little more general, which I'm happy because I actually did I did a Periscope from home, and like someone like tweeted out the sit like the exact like city, and I was like, oh, that's a little creepy. But yeah, it's polished. I like it. As far as like is this live stream thing still is it sustainable, is it a fad, I don't know yet. I mean, it definitely has trailed off since last Thursday, as far as like how many people are scoping, as they call it. You know, people were just putting
that's the verb.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I read it somewhere, and I'm going with it. Like oh man, I scoped yesterday, or I'm scoping.
Well, you know, it came out on Thursday, and this it's not the explosion by Palm Frites in New York City on Second Avenue. Mm-hmm. Right, I saw that live because of Periscope. And it was kind of weird that something that so could be used, like, it was the perfect kind of World Cup for Periscope. Like, the World Cup was a, like, great thing for Twitter and the use of Twitter. And then something like this happens, and it kind of just showed, like, this is the exact use case for Periscope. But yeah, I haven't really seen anything else. I mean, it's kind of maybe going to be like one of those tools that you just kind of have, like an app that you have. And when something happens that you could scope, it's there and it will be great. But outside of those very kind of spotty events, I don't see it being used very much.
Yeah. And I think you said it right there. It's going to be a tool. It's not going to be something that you open up. Like, I don't really open up the app and like, really just pick on people's random, you know, streams. It's one of those things where I will open up when something I think is interesting going on, and then I will live stream it out. We'll see. Next on our topic, I just wanted to mention another thing that went live last week. My Alfred review on the Suite setup, or should I say my OS X launchers review, where I picked Alfred the favorite for OS X launchers. And I just wanted to touch on this a little bit and first ask you, do you rely on any third-party launchers, or do you even rely on Spotlight?
So when I get a new Mac, the first few utilities that I install, the first one is usually Alfred. I got it 6 years ago is when I first got Alfred, and I've used it ever since. And I really don't do anything complicated with it. I don't use the flows, but I like the actions of being able to like put the computer to sleep or, you know, Google something really quickly, like at a specific site or Google image search, like all of those things that just Spotlight doesn't do. And I mean, that's pretty characteristic of most Apple features, that there usually is something that's very similar to it that you can, as like, that's third party. Apple will cover the basics, like find things on your computer and do a basic Google search. But if you want to do anything more than that, you have to go third party. And I agree with your conclusion that Alfred is the best. It's been the simplest and cleanest, especially with startup, like just getting going with it. You can install it and it works just like Spotlight. And I felt like Quicksilver or Launch Bars, there was always some kind of weird configuration and it never really kind of melded with the rest of the newer releases of OS X. Alfred is the best. I really I've wanted to start doing their workflows and stuff, but it's kind of like the workflow app on iPad. I don't know. There's a kind of big learning curve and threshold to like get started, and I've never been able to get the payout from it because I'm too lazy to get going.
Yeah, I mean, I incorporated a couple of people's, you know, pre-made workflows, so to speak, and the one that I use the most is shortening URLs. I love it. I love it. You know, you copy a URL to your clipboard, you pop open Alfred, you start typing in the word shorten, you hit enter, you paste it, and you can get it pretty much shortened on every popular service out there, Bitly, Google shortening service. And then another thing I like is like emptying my trash. So I'm the type of person who does not like a full trash on my Mac. I'm the person that throws something in there and empties it right away. So when I throw something in the trash, I pop open Alfred, I type in EM, and it knows that empty trash is the first thing in there, and I hit enter, and it just empties without any prompt or anything like that. Those are just two that that I really like. But you know, with the review, I really spent a lot of time with all of these launchers, and the thing about Launch Bar is, it is just as powerful as Alfred, and it has the same. It has very good theme customization, but it you have to get used to it. I don't know what to call it. I guess the way it functions. You can't just type in, you know, multiple words and hit space bar. Like everything has a specific like syntax with Launch Bar. And I found that I had to actually go on like their support forums to figure that stuff out, where Alfred was like really intuitive from the start. You go into their preferences, they explain what everything does. If you're interested, it'll be in the show notes. But moving on to even sweeter things. So during this week, 9to5Mac got some leaked documentation from Apple retail stores that state that the Apple Watch Edition customers will get some perks. They'll get 24/7 support, private one-hour appointments. They will not have to deal with lines. And Cody, you kind of shunned my thought a couple episodes that they would get extra special treatment, and I made the argument that, you know, this is a luxury item, other, you know, unlike the Mac Pro, which may cost very similar. I texted you this during the week, and you were like, "Oh, I saw that in my Twitter feed, and I skipped over it."
Yeah, I mean, I read it, and I think it's a bad idea. Do you remember, neither one of us worked at the Apple store when this was a thing, but I remember hearing plenty of geniuses talk about it. There was like the special customers thing where if you bought a Mac and then you could buy AppleCare, but then you could buy this other like super special support plan. And then
like something with the word pro in it.
Yeah, it was like pro customer or something like that. But when you came in, you could just skip the whole line and you would be seen immediately at the Genius Bar. And I always thought that was a bad idea. And it just, it seems like that's what this is. And additionally, like, I maybe on April 10th, I'll just go into the Apple store and be like, hey, yeah, I want to look at the Apple Watch edition. Like, what are they going to ask me to see my like bank statements and my credit card limit to see if I can buy one? Like, I don't see how this, I mean, I get, and everyone's been talking about it, that, you know, if you're spending $10,000, you need a special experience, right? Because you're spending all of this money. But like, how does that, how do you pick who gets the experience or not? Like, if I come in with like, you know, ripped jeans and a white shirt with a big stain on it, and I haven't like washed my hair in 3 days, like, do I still get to watch, look at the Apple Watch edition? Or are they going to say, sorry, doesn't look like you can afford it, so you're going to have to get into the regular Apple line, Apple Watch line?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm still on the thought process that these people, they should be treated a little extra special. But I think a point that you made in the past is that it's still unclear that, you know, once this rush is over, it's still unclear how many additions will be coming into, you know, like the Genius Bar, how many people are going to be actually coming in for support and things of that nature. So it may be few and far between that they have this type of experience. But I think this initial rush, that's a good question. You know, if I come in and I look like, you know, if I'm like a 16-year-old kid coming in with a skateboard on a backpack and I say I want to look at the edition, like, are they going to give me an hour appointment? Like,
it doesn't make sense. And I just think Apple's making a bad decision in retail. Why don't they just make that, they should just have the same experience for everyone, and it should be a stellar experience. And if they're providing a less than subpar experience for Apple Watch and Apple Watch Sport customers, then they should bump that up. Like, it, I don't think Apple Watch Edition customers should get this whole like cutting lines and, you know, extra time with someone. I think that Apple should value their customers the same, no matter what product they're buying. I mean, that's why we love the Apple Store. It was such a radical thing of like this crazy amount of customer experience, and it seems like they're backpedaling here and not making progress.
I have a surprise story for you, not in our show notes. I actually went to the Genius Bar recently, and I experienced the new text message queue system firsthand.
How was it?
I was actually a little impressed. And that's tough for me to say because, you know, working for the company and the Genius Bar specifically, I wasn't sure something like this could be pulled off. But
which store did you go to?
The worst of them all, Fifth Avenue, my friend.
Yeah, that was a bad decision. But okay.
Long story short, there was nothing wrong with my phone. I actually didn't do my due diligence in troubleshooting, and it's embarrassing, and I think it turns out that it was my specific pair of headphones, but I don't want to get into that. So I arrived there, and without an appointment, this is me like, oh, I'm in the area, I'm just going to go in, which is like, no one does. I would never do that in the past, but I don't know, I was feeling lucky. So I go there. And I was like, you have any phone appointments? And they were like, well, you know, what's the issue? And I said, oh, the headphone jack. So they kind of had this grid of icons. They're very big icons. And one was like a audio icon. He tapped on it and he read off something, like it was a time that was giving him. So he goes, well, you know, I could probably see you in like 30, 35 minutes. So I said, all right. You know, it is what it is. I mean, that's actually a pretty decent walk-in time from.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, but I didn't realize that the text message thing went live yet. So he's like, you know, the usual spiel, name, email address, Apple ID, are you backed up? All that stuff. So I'm about to go to a place. Like, I figured he's going to point me to a place to sit down. So he's like, all right, you should be receiving a text message shortly. And then he's like, you know, you could leave the store, grab a cup of coffee. It's like you'll receive a second text message saying that, you know, we're going to be ready for you shortly, and then you're going to start heading back, and then you're going to get a third one. So I'm like, all right. So I'm going to see if this thing, you know, this thing actually works. So it was the morning, so I figured I would, you know, get a cup of coffee and something, you know, to eat around the corner. So I get the initial text message, and
was it a green bubble or a blue bubble?
It comes in as a gray bubble, because a green bubble would be if you respond. But if you're asking me if it's an iMessage or a text message,
yeah, that's what I meant.
It is a text message. It specifically says text message. So I'll read the text message verbatim. It says, "We've reserved your spot in line at the Genius Bar and we'll be ready for you soon. You'll get a reminder when it's almost your turn." So I left. I got a cup of coffee. I got a bagel. Exactly 11 minutes later, I get the second text message. And it says, "We'll be ready for you shortly. Please make your way back to the Apple Store soon." So I was around the corner. I wasn't very far away, but I could see that if you were in a mall, you might be, you know, on the other side of the mall. And the reason I say this is because I got back there rather fast. And it took 21 more minutes for that third text message to come in. But I will say
what did the third message say?
The third message says, "Thanks for waiting. We're now ready for you. Please check in with a specialist." Now, here's the thing. A, the guy's estimate was pretty much dead on. The total wait time was around 32, 33 minutes. Second of all, I went up to the person. I showed them that the text message was there. They checked me in, sat me down on the table. Literally 10 seconds later, someone was calling out my name. Wow. So I was impressed with the journey that I took with this, because A, I didn't have to wait. I could roam freely. Yes, I kind of was like getting impatient when I came back and I had to wait for that third text message. But the fact that after that third text message, I was seen near immediately, if that's how they're doing it in every store, then I commend them, because that is really great, and something that I never thought they could accomplish for walk-in customers. And I thought it would be interesting to tell that story and kind of experience that firsthand. I guess it's live now everywhere. So it was a positive Genius Bar experience, and I will be leaving that young Genius a good review. Hopefully, if I get a survey email.
You know, I wonder what happens if you don't show up in time. Like, what if you get the third text message and you are like still 5-10 minutes away from the Apple Store? Something happened. You got cut up. I wonder how they handle that.
Yeah, and I think it's at that point where like other walk-ins just get bumped up, and you may have to just, instead of you sitting down and getting your name called immediately, you sit down and you wait another, you know, 10, you know, maybe 15 minutes. But when everything works, you know, it works.
Yeah. Well, I went to the Apple Store on Sunday.
You finally got a phone replacement, huh? Or did they replace your screen?
Nope, didn't do any of that.
Oh my God, what is wrong with you, Cody?
Well, this is what happened. So we went on like a big hike around San Francisco, and we're up where, so there's two stores in San Francisco. There's the one that's kind of downtown on Market Street, and then there's one on like north of the city by the beach on Chestnut Street. And so we had walked around by Golden Gate, and I was like, oh, well, the Apple Store's there. And I was like, oh, maybe I could, you know, maybe there's an appointment. So I open up the Apple Store app, look to see if there's an appointment, and of course there isn't. So I was like, oh, whatever, but I'll go in and I'll play with the trackpad. So I go in and, you know, I play with the trackpad. It's nice. I agree with what everyone has said. I have no opinions that differ. damn, I wish I would have known this story, your walk-in story. I totally would have just walked up and said, hey, can I get an appointment? It wasn't busy, but I was just like, they're not going to have an appointment. You know, I know how it works.
And keep in mind, I checked the app and I had the same thing. The app said like the next appointment was like 6 hours away. Like, no joke, 6 hours away.
Oh, see, the next appointment for me was like days away.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
oh
so goodness. I was like, there's no point in me even asking, but with this, I should have just asked. Lesson learned.
So moving into rumors and speculation, two rumors came out regarding Apple bringing back a possible C line for this upcoming next generation. And not only will it be a C line, it will also retain the 4-inch form factor that I guess some are still, pining for. I'm kind of over the 4-inch form factor already. Wait, why'd you say you kind of miss it?
Yeah, I do a little bit.
So you've held someone's 5.5s recently and said, wow, I miss this size.
So it's weird because I miss how it fits in my hand and how my thumb, you know, sometimes like if I browse Reddit for too long, I will actually like my like wrist will like hurt, like tendonitis from like swiping and going too much, because like my thumb doesn't have the kind of range and control. I'm probably holding the phone wrong, but I mean, it's so slippery and like hard to, you know, swipe over and swipe back and scrolling. It's not a phone I can use for a long period of time, which is something I never had with the 5. I love the size of the display. When I picked up my boyfriend's 5S, I loved how it felt in my hand, but I missed the bigger screen size. So it's this weird kind of place of how I feel of like, I don't like how it fits in my hand, but I like the display. So I don't know if I would go smaller or, you know, now the hashtag Mike was right. Everyone's talking about the 6 Plus and how the 6 Plus is better and how, you know, 6 Plus with an Apple Watch, that's a whole new thing. So I don't really even know where I will end up with a new generation. I'm very much on the fence about how I feel about this display size months later.
Well, I have a pretty long-winded theory that I won't I will save you from in this episode as far as why they came out with a 5C and why they didn't just move the 5 down. And the short of it is that the iPhone 5 was plagued with so many manufacturing problems it did not pay for them to actually keep manufacturing that particular model and move it down the list. With the 5C, they were able to solve those manufacturing problems that the iPhone 5 had, keep the same internals, change it to a fancy new plastic outer coating.
Yeah, rebrand.
Rebrand it, and they still sold a ton. I mean, I was a 5C user myself.
Ugly white one. I remember. I remember the day
you
bought it.
Bite your tongue. Bite your tongue. I think there's a market for it. And I think that, let's think this through here. So they say they come out with a 6S and a 6S Plus. So that means they would move down. You know, this is the question. This is going to be a big year, because what do they move down to the middle tier? Do they just keep the 6? Do they keep a 6 Plus in the middle tier?
Seems like, strange.
This is going to be an interesting cycle. And then just to touch on like a rumor that came out today, there's some rumor saying that they're going to skip the S and they're going to go right to a 7 naming convention, which I do not buy.
I don't think so.
I do not buy whatsoever. That's going to be an interesting thing to see played out, is like how they keep a free middle and new tier. I guess my guess would be that they keep the 6 around, not the 6 Plus. They move the 6 to the middle. They have this new 6C, but then what goes free? I don't know. I'm kind of at a loss as far as, you know, how they're going to play their cards this year. But I mean, apparently there's now a leaked shell. Someone's holding the pink one, and they have a leaked shell, and they're claiming that that is the leaked shell of this 4-inch device. And I don't know, manufacturing leaks have been pretty spot on, as you know, as of the past couple of years. So I'm buying into the rumor. I think that it's a possibility, and just a way for Apple to differentiate their lineup. You know, to not have all aluminum devices.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they're going to do anything different with the next round of phones. I think the normal shifting of the line down will probably get a 6C with a shell case, with 5S internals, or actually 6 internals. I mean, I don't think they're going to do anything crazy, especially on an S year. Like, maybe if this was a year in the future and iPhone 7 was coming out, they might mix up the line, but I think they're like in a, you know, the TikTok, they're in a talk right now. So they're just improving and not really doing anything new. They did that with this current generation. So, yeah, I mean,
one last thing before we wrap up. There's also another rumor that came out.
The 6 Plus Force Touch?
Yes, that the 6 Plus would have exclusive Force Touch. And man, would that would anger me.
I thought the same thing, because I was like, damn it. I don't know if I would go down. I'm not really happy with the 6 size, and I don't really think I want to go up. But, you know, hashtag Mike was right, and Force Touch. Man, I would love to have Force Touch. So I'm kind of like, I hope they don't do it, because then that would definitely push me to the 6 Plus, and I don't think, as how I feel with the 6, I don't know if I could do that leap and be happy. And I feel like I would be compromising for Apple fanboy, got to have the features. I don't think they would do the Force Touch on just the 6 Plus.
Because like Apple differentiated the 6 and the 6 Plus. The only differentiating point is that the 6 Plus had the optical image stabilization.
Yeah.
And that was really only because they could fit it in. And I feel like, you know how they're separate, the iPad Mini and the iPad Air were once equals, and then they totally disregarded the Mini, and they just put Touch ID on it and didn't upgrade the internals, and it became like the second class citizen, where the iPad was the main thing. I'm fine with them doing that in the iPad line, but on the iPhone line, to differentiate those two phones and to have such a big feature as Force Touch just only be on the Plus, I find that to be hard to believe.
Yeah, I hope they don't do it. I mean, it's like Force Touch is such an exciting technology that I feel like they could do so much with, and for them to restrict it to one model, I feel like they're losing out. And I mean, how would that work with the new OS? Like, oh, only some models and some apps will have this set of features. But what if a developer writes it with the app, and then, you know, it doesn't work here, but it's a whole, it doesn't seem like a good decision to limit it to just one model. And I mean, they haven't released numbers, but I don't think the 6 Plus is selling as much as the 6 from their initial numbers, you know.
Yeah, I think before we see like supply leaks of certain models, like some of these rumors, I feel like they could just print, they could not print, but they could post whatever they want and get people to discuss it. You know, it's at a point
for where, all we know, that 6C case was 3D printed by Elon Musk with his new 3D printing technology, and he posted that, you know.
Exactly. So before we sign off, we just wanted to thank all the people who pledged on Patreon. Last week we announced that we had one, and people are pledging per month to our show. To update you on that, me and Cody will be recording a special after show this month for our Patreon listeners and supporters, and we couldn't be happier from the support that we are getting from you guys. So if you do want to support our show, which will remain free nonetheless, it will be patreon.com/DAU show. So that's going to bring our episode to an end, Cody. Our show notes once again are at diagnosticsandusage.com/episodes/11. I can be found on Twitter at Joe Caiati, CAIATI. Cody can be found on Twitter
at CP Coates.
And I write at joecaiati.info. We will talk to you guys next week. Cody, you have a great night.
Toodaloo.